the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers your Arizona Cardinals. My co-host, as almost always is the case, but is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the Arizona Cardinals site from the SB Nation network of blog sites, and he's also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. Seth, it is episode 368, and we are now officially in football season. It's not official football season, but it is football season. We have actual games. Stuff happened. Football was played. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it was interesting. I my older son's high school football scrimmage got canceled, so I was able to watch the whole game, and I watched the whole game, and you forget how boring those midway through the third and into the fourth quarter can be. But there was a lot of good things that came out of the game, and I think a lot of guys had an opportunity to show what they have and who, you know, who they could potentially be in the NFL, which is, you know, all you can ask for.
Yeah, totally. So in this edition of the show, we're in episode 368. We are going to talk about the preseason when it was a 36-23 butt kicking. And that 36-23 score wasn't even nearly as close as it was, because they got a couple of late touchdowns in the absolute garbage time. The Cardinals honestly put a beat down on the Bengals. Not that that really matters in the preseason, but the fact they look, it was fun to watch, especially in the first half. We're going to talk about the standouts. Maybe some of these players who stood out, are they an answer? We're going to talk about the guys that played. Have a look at the first cuts that the Cardinals made over the weekend. Discuss as well the preseason strategy the Cardinals are taking with their starters. And then we're going to look ahead to their matchup this Sunday night against the Baltimore Ravens, a team that has won, I think, 21 consecutive preseason games, because that's amazing or something. But yeah, let's go ahead and get started. Want to talk about who the standouts were in the game on Friday. And obviously there are some names that stand out more than others. One is Victor Dimakeji. Then you've got the two guys that made the most noise for themselves. I would say they would have to be Victor Dimakeji, who was a sixth-round pick a year ago out of Duke, edge defender. Kind of a poor man's Marcus Golden is how they kind of viewed him. And then Greg Dortch, the tiny little receiver who's been making plays in camp, continues to make plays and was great in the preseason. Talking about those guys specifically, how impressive was the performance that they both had?
You know, you look at what Dimakeji did, and it's always good to be productive off the edge. And you know, he's fighting for a spot because they drafted two guys to compete and potentially play his spot, you know, with the earlier draft picks. And so to see him come out, and even though it's against, you know, number twos and threes, that's what we always talk about. As long as you're dominating the twos and threes, it's fine. You know, you don't want to be the other way, right? Like, you don't want to be dominated by a two or a three. So I thought Dimakeji's performance was, you know, enlightening, and it's something that we've talked about before. He's a guy that is a lot like Marcus Golden, obviously not quite as talented. There's a reason he didn't get drafted earlier. But he's a good solid, sound football player that has that relentless spirit about him. And that's, you know, that's really all you can ask for.
Right, right. And I'm not going to equate this, but people were so, so very excited about his performance. They're like, he's a lock for the roster. I am not, like, I'm not going to discount what he did, because he looked dominant. I will say that. He looked dominant on the field. He was disruptive, the two sacks. He had pressure on other cases. But we have to look at this. This isn't quite, if you remember a couple of names over the past few preseason, Vontarius Dora, there was a couple preseasons where he was just absolutely dominant. Cap Cappy, you'll remember that name for 2018. He was a fan favorite because he could get to the quarterback. Granted, they did this usually in the second half of preseason games against players who mostly are barely making NFL rosters or not making them at all. DeMicage's performance is a little bit different because it was against guys who are, they had a couple starters on the offensive line. And so it was good to see that happen, but I'm not prepared to say he's a lock for the roster, especially since it's one playoff game. He has, though, indeed, had a good camp. And he was a player they were excited about in his upside when they drafted him. He's not super athletic, but he's got that nice, big, strong, and he's very strong. He kind of proved his mettle last year in special teams, and that's how they felt that he could be. And I think they saw him as like a Kylie Fitch replacement, a guy with a little bit of upside on defense, where you figured you're going to get solid production in the pass rush. I mean, in special teams, at least. And now he's developing into something, but I don't want to hang my hat to think that he's an answer, but it's promising. I like it so far. While Dortch, on the other hand, it seems, because we saw him in limited action in the preseason last year, we saw him in some limited action on the field late last season, it seems he's kind of a gamer. He's going to make plays, and especially with the way that Cliff Kingsbury has his offense, is that a small, shifty player like him, he's 5'7", 175, and he doesn't have burner speed, but he's very elusive. Cliff Kingsbury's offense and today's NFL lends itself a little bit more towards kind of bringing guys this sort of success. And I think now because he's also an impact returner, and he saw showed that in the game, because you got the plays in the passing game and you got the big time punt return, I think he is probably a lock for the roster. More so than a McKagey. You'll like where we're at, but it's going to come down to numbers at that position. With Dortch, I think he's probably cemented a spot on the roster, especially considering, you know, his ability to return, one, and two, he fits right into that slot role, so he can back up Rondale Moore. So if Rondale Moore ever has to miss anything, you've got the same type of player without the high-end speed. But those are two players that obviously for me stood out.
Yeah, and you look at Dortch, he's had a you know, a really good camp. He continues to be a guy that just shows up week in and week out. And you feel like you said, with the DeAndre Hopkins situation, they're gonna keep six. I mean, that's what it feels like. And you look at their names, right? So obviously we take Hopkins out of it right now. And
yeah, so they're going to keep five or six other than Hopkins. He won't count against the 53. We already know who the three are going to be.
Right. So you got Green, Brown, and Moore. I think they want to keep Wesley.
Yeah, Wesley is a lock unless his groin hip. They're looking at the timeline is looking where he can probably come back before the season starts or right about the season. And if there's any chance that he can't, because they don't want to put him on IR. He might need surgery, which might end his season. But they want to get him to the 53 so that at minimum, if he has to go on IR, he only has to miss four games. Wesley's a guy they really like. And so he's kind of wide receiver four without Hopkins, which means Dortch, Isabella, Vic Bolden, the USFL kid, are kind of battling for those other things. And almost to me, Greg Dortch is everything they've wanted Andy Isabella to be, but he hasn't been yet.
Yeah, and so, you know, you look at Dortch, he had a great game. You know, another guy that I thought really kind of stood out in the game was, and he's a rookie, and so I know people get excited about that, was Christian Mathieu. Now, he's a rookie, one. Two, he's a corner, which is, you know, a desperate need for this team to the fan base. And he played well. I think he had
one pass breakup and he had coverage on another play that was a contested play. It didn't get count for the pass breakup, but it was an incompletion where it was a contested play on the border near the sidelines.
Yeah, and so two targets, no receptions, one pass breakup. Really good job in coverage. He's not going to be a guy that, especially right now, that is a guy that assists in the run game, which is fine. I mean, maybe as he gets a little bigger, a little older, we'll see, you know, some more of that. But it is good to see that he played well, because you know, you and I were talking about it off the air. He's a different build than all their other corners, because he's 6'2".
Yeah, he's got length, and they love length at corner.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And so, you know, you look at it, he had a nice game, I thought. He played well. You know, you talked about Demikeji. A guy that's kind of flown under the radar a little bit, but this is an open kind of fight is Christian Ringo. And he finished with three tackles in the game, you know, and he's another guy that kind of, when you look at what they have, he's fighting with Michael Dogby, you know, to be a guy that gets that roster spot. And I didn't think Dogby played poorly at all. I just thought Ringo played a little better.
And Ringo, he can play.
He can basically play everywhere because he's 6'1" and 300 pounds. So, you know, he's probably not ideal to be a nose tackle. But at the same time, when you're talking about 6'1" and 300 pounds, it's a lot different than 6'4" and 300 pounds. You know, he's obviously got a lot more stoutness and thickness to him. You know, and again, Dogby didn't play poorly at all.
I know they really like the young guys they developed. So it's a Dogby, Lawrence, Fotu, all the Zach Allen, all those guys that they've developed. I found something real interesting is the playing time for Jonathan Ledbetter and how he was used, because he also had a few snaps right there in the middle at nose. It depends. Like, we know they're going to keep. Obviously, Watt, Allen, Lawrence, Fotu, all those guys are locks. And then it comes to how many defensive linemen. So I think Dogby's a lock as well, so it's five. And so that sixth guy, are they going to keep six defensive linemen? And what type of versus are they? Do they want him? Do they want someone who can be a nose plus? Because Rashard Lawrence, well, they like guys playing all across the defensive line, but they like Rashard Lawrence up front. Leckie can play the nose, but if you get another guy, do they want more of a Ledbetter, Antoine Woods, Christian Ringo, or is Manny Jones going to come into play? We see this almost, doesn't it feel like almost every single year that there is a undrafted defensive lineman that the Cardinals just really like and ends up being pretty all right. in this year. And on Manny Jones, under the radar, he was one of their priority free agents. He was one of their top 30 visits. And let's be honest, he, like, in the time that he was on the field, he made an impact.
Yeah. And then you look at the offense. The starting line looked good, man. Like, obviously, again, you've got a cemented starter in Will Hernandez, who was just straight up bullying people.
What we want him to do.
Yeah, and it's exciting because, as we said earlier, you know, he should be dominating them,
and he did.
And he did. And so it's hard to explain why that's important outside of the fact that he has struggled at times with that. The rookies look good, man. Lasitas and Marquise Hayes both look good.
Marquise Hayes looked great, but again, Marquise also got his playing time deep in the game.
Right.
And more than anything, the Smith part, it wasn't so much the offensive line play, but it was, he's playing center, which he hasn't played before, and guess what you didn't notice? Problems.
Yeah,
there were no center problems.
You know who looked really freaking good, dude? And I don't know what their plan is at this point. And you talked a little bit about it. So they flopped Jones and Miles, right?
Briefly. I think that the snaps, I think Miles got about 10 snaps, 8 to 10 snaps at left. But
yeah,
we might see more flip-flop, but both those guys looked pretty solid.
Yeah, and you were talking a little bit about it off the air, but, I mean, you look at it, Jones looked really smooth, and he's a little bigger this year, but the athleticism showing. And I wonder if he's a guy that gets that Justin Murray type of deal, right? Like a 3-year contract to take him to his like age 28 year, and then look to cash in. You know, you never know. But like, he looked really good and like really comfortable at on the left side. Which, yeah, I mean, I was again. It's not the best competition, but when you're dominating with your twos versus their twos, that means something.
It does, absolutely. And, you know, you like what you saw from Trace McSorley. Doesn't it give you the feeling that Cliff found the guy, like they found a quarterback, is what they wanted Chris Trevlo to be? And... It turns out that now the one thing that Strebler had is they really liked his arm, and they realized that McSorley has a much better arm than they thought he did.
Right. And the thing is with like Strebler, he was you and I talked about this, dude. He's like more Tim Tebow than he was than like Baker Mayfield, right? And McSorley's much more Baker than so.
Right, and he started a ton of games at Penn State. I will say I found one thing really, really, really funny on that TV broadcast from Dave Pastor that talked about the long history of great Penn State quarterbacks, and I'm like, wait, who?
Yeah, you're like, wait, what?
Like Kerry Collins 20 years ago?
Right. So, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's super... I thought it was a good game. And like, that's the thing. We could talk about this for 25 minutes because they did have a lot of solid performances. I mean, think about it. We haven't even touched on Andy Isabella, who had a good game.
It was, he was solid. I was mildly disappointed in one play from him. The one thing that I did like is that you saw him getting separation. Granted, again, it was against twos, but he's not a one. So he was getting separation and getting open. The one thing that you wish that you would have gotten is that one pass late in the game that he could have, when he had to go up for the ball, that he would have gotten that contested catch. That I think if there's one thing that we know about Isabella is that, you know, he's not been great with catching with his hands. Like he's kind of the guy that gets separation and you can just loft it up and he'll catch it, but he's never had to go up and contest catches because that's never been his game. And you want to see that a little bit more if you're going to see him make the team.
Yeah. And I mean, that's never going to be his game. And, you know, at this point, like you look at it, it was a miss by the Cardinals. And now you're just trying to, like you said, you're hoping to salvage it at this point, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot to like. The run game looked good. Jonathan Ward, Keonta Ingram. You saw some of that size and the someone with his size to put the moves that he had. Both Ward and Ingram made plays in the passing game. That running back competition is going to be fun to watch. But yeah, there was really a lot to like. So coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We want to talk about specifically, we'll talk a little about Isabella, but also the guys that the Cardinals are kind of counting on. How did they do in their limited playing time? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. And while few starters played, and that's going to be kind of the theme for this preseason, there were two notable defensive starters, guys, young players, they are counting on this year or hoping to be able to count on, who got playing time early. And that would be cornerback Marco Wilson and linebacker Zaven Collins. They only got a handful of snaps early in the game. Marco had a pass interference penalty. He looked, you know, he clearly got beat and then just kind of clobbered Trent Taylor on a play. Zaven didn't make any plays, but it didn't look like he also made any mistakes. Did you see enough from them to either add to your confidence about their playing or to hurt your confidence in their playing as starters this coming season?
Marco Moore, because I think in the game he ended up giving up two receptions, right?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so you look at him, he gave up two receptions on only two throws at him for 51 yards, no touchdowns. And he just – here's the thing about playing corner, and I know a lot of people don't like some of the behavior at corner sometimes, but the reason those guys act like they do a lot of times is because, man, you have to have confidence in yourself. And I don't know if they were trying Jedi mind tricks. I don't know what the plan is right now, to be completely frank with you, but whatever they're doing with Marco Wilson is not working. And that's what worries me more than anything, is that this is a dude who looked really promising before his injury, and then since then has looked like he doesn't belong on the field. And that's worrisome for a team that's razor thin at corner. You know, when you look at Zaven, I think the lack of splash plays is going to be something that he's going to have to figure out how to overcome. But when you look at his like overall game, he was solid. Like he, you know, just kind of, I think that's going to be another thing he's going to have to figure out how to deal with, is that right now he's not playing at the level of a first round pick.
Yeah.
But he's also not playing at a level of he needs to be replaced, if that makes sense.
Right. There's the one thing that was disappointing from both those players, because they're expected to be starters, is you wanted to see – you didn't – it's not like you needed to see them dominate, but you wanted to see something to take away from, like, okay, yeah. And that's the thing with Zaven. There was nothing from Zaven that made you feel better about him as a starter? And Wilson, there was a couple of plays you're like,
definitely makes you like feel worse.
I'm like, yeah, yeah. And Wilson is honestly is the one that I'm more going into the season, I'm more confident in because of the amount he played last season.
I was going to say, because he's already done it.
Right, right. But at the same time, it just feels like now there's something to say about, but it's clear that Vance Joseph has, he has nothing but good things to say about him. But then you hear Cliff Kingsbury said he's not throwing all his confidence at him, and which is something you don't, like, you know, it's a work in progress. The jury's still out, is what he's saying. When you'd like to say, you know, we're going to give him the work that he needs because we're counting on him. And maybe it's the how he came into camp. Maybe it's the mentality that he came in with a little bit of entitlement that they're trying to overcome. But, you know, he looked promising, and I'm hope, like, he's, because of the traits that he has, you know, it would be he's the guy that you really want the Cardinals to hit on, because as we said it a year ago after he was drafted, this is kind of where you're saying, this is okay, Steve Keim, when he trades up for them, he valued Marco Wilson that much. And so if you're talking about his ability to evaluate, you want to look at Marco Wilson and see him succeed.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and it's not just Marco Wilson, but it's you know, the position in general that they've neglected for so long. And then they take a guy that's got this upside but has had issues, and it's just like you'd like to see more from him. Like you said, you'd like to see growth, and it's almost like regression more than anything. And that, I think, is what the concern becomes. But you look at it, I mean, I'd say they had positive play from a couple corners in the game. You know, we talked about Christian Mathieu. I thought that Jace Whitaker didn't play poorly. And if he's your slot guy and you move Byron outside, like, that's not a bad thing.
No, Cliff talked about Jace Whitaker on Monday, I think it was. And, you know, he was an undrafted guy come out of the University of Arizona, which is, you know, which wasn't a good football school to begin with. He wasn't a standout there. And he's really carved a nice niche into special teams, because he was a bounce between the practice. He's a practice squad elevation guy over his first 2 years in the league. And they trust him. Like, he's not good, but he won't blow plays, is kind of what they trust him now. And so he you feel like he has a chance to make the roster, depending on what they do at the position, or at least a guy that they want to keep around to be a practice squad call up. And if they do hit any injuries, that they'd be comfortable with him on the field. They won't necessarily help you, but he won't hurt you.
Right. And that's the big thing. I thought Josh Jackson was fine. You know, he's still a little lost in coverage at times, but he's definitely their most physical corner. Who else was the corners in the game? Who's Cortez Davis?
He was a cornerback that last week they worked out and signed him after the first depth chart was out. And they, who was the cornerback that they let go? I can't remember. It was one of the younger guys.
He wasn't bad either.
Oh, it was their undrafted, Nate Brooks. No, okay. Nate Brooks, the guy they'd had for a year. And
yeah. So he wasn't too bad either. I mean, that's the thing, though, is like, you listen to all these names. Obviously, Murph is not going to play at all. But you listen to all these names, you're like, God, this is like, they need somebody to step up. Because if it's Antonio Hamilton, Marco Wilson, and Byron Murphy, it could be a problem if Wilson doesn't find his footing again.
Yeah, that's the thing. And they'd like Antonio Hamilton. And maybe here's the thing. A team where they're people are expecting it to compete is that at this one position, this premium position, they seem to be... Now, granted, we talked about it off the air. Their original plan just backfired. They thought they had their guy in Jeff Gladney, and that tragically was not the case. But now, instead of going out and getting someone else that, who's proven it, they're at this point, unless something comes up that's better, they are counting on the development and improvement of players who have already been in the system, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it also is a worrisome thing from the outside.
Oh, definitely, man. Like, and that's something that's not going to get better until, you know, you see how things play out on the field. And I know that's a cop out to say, but it's just the reality. Like, if they go out and have a decent pass rush and are causing, you know, getting a lot of hands on footballs, then it doesn't matter. But if they're having to cover for 3.5-4 seconds, then I mean, it doesn't matter if you have freaking Deion Sanders and Aeneas Williams as your corners, you're not going to have a lot of success. And so that's, you know, it's a combination of the two that you want to see this growth from.
And then we talked briefly about Andy Isabella. I'm intrigued to see what he does, because the last two preseasons, his first two preseasons were, well, actually his first 3 years was completely destroyed, where his rookie year, he got a knee injury and missed the preseason, basically. Then 2020, no preseason. Then last year, 2021, he got COVID and missed preseason games. So this was, this might have been the first extended preseason action we've seen of Andy Isabella. And he didn't disappoint, let's be honest. Now, he wasn't dominant, but he did, you did notice him on the field, and that's something you want to see. But the question is going to come down to, is he performing to get moved, or is he performing to make the roster? And I know Cliff still values Andy because he has been in the system long enough, and now he knows multiple positions, so he can play outside. He's definitely not as good as a slot, but he knows how to play slot. If we recall, that's what they wanted him to be. Like Rondale Moore, who they have, that's who they wanted Andy to be. But it turned out that he's a better outside receiver because he didn't play inside in college. And he does give you some special teams upside because he can return punts and kicks. And so there's value. It's just not what you want from your second round pick from 2019. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out if we finally get any value out of him at all, whether that is ultimately a trade or if he can do something, he can produce something on the roster. But I was glad to see him in the preseason, and he's one of the players to watch for me in this game coming Sunday against the Ravens.
Yeah, definitely. And you look at the guys to watch, and it's not just the guys we've mentioned, right? But it's the guys that now you want to see a backup game. And so you talked about Demakeji and how good he was in this game. Okay, like do it again now against a team, like you said, that's won 21-22 straight preseason games.
Yes, that's actually going to be that's an important point. Is now you're facing a team where preseason matters.
Right, that takes the preseason fairly seriously. Obviously, you're not going to see their stars, but their game planning and going. So Demakeji, Matthew, you know, Myjai Sanders, who we haven't even talked about, had a nice game rushing the passer, and then see a little more from Zaven and Josh Jackson and those guys. Like that's kind of what you want to see. And then offensively, dude, it's just tough because there's just so few spots to crack, right? So do you think Will's going to start again?
Yes, I do. One, they're down a couple of linemen. I think they want to give him reps in the system.
Yeah. So you look at that, then you want to see him do the same thing, right? You want to see Josh Jones play well again, because he did play well. You want to see Joshua Miles have a nice game. Those are all things, like, again, you just want to see them back up their performance. And then, you know, Hayes and Smith they're not battling for the same position, but, like, are they going to be able to, like, hold off a Coda Martin, who played well, or a Danny Isadora, who started and was probably the worst lineman in the game. Those are all things that you're going to look at. But there are guys specifically, like, how do you evaluate Darrell Williams?
Right. Exactly. Totally. Like, we haven't seen him. There's been some limited rips. They haven't been using him a lot. And then they don't. Then, yeah, he just seems to be.
What's his? I mean, I know it wasn't much, but, like, what's his contract situation?
It's pretty much a league minimum, but almost all of it's guaranteed. So $900,000 of his contract is guaranteed.
So they'll take a hit if they do cut him.
Right. I mean, and so he seems to be a lock unless they trade him. And that's actually probably going to be one of our topics next week as we go into the final preseason game, who is trade bait? Because by the time we record the week after, it will be after final cuts have been made. And so, yeah, Darrell Williams quietly might be, he's a security blanket, but if the guys behind him, and Cliff said it today, I think it was on Tuesday, that he said they have six guys in that running back room who could do things for him. They were including the undrafted kid, TJ Pledger.
Which... Yeah. But, I mean, he's looking, he's just so small, man.
Yeah.
He's just, like, so, so small. Yeah. So it'll be interesting because, like you said, like, Isabella's got to, he's got to play better. Keontae Ingram and Jonathan Ward both played well, but, like, is it fool's gold? Because does it matter? Like you said, TJ Pledger looked really good outside of the fact that he's going to struggle pass blocking. Shocking. A guy that's that small is going to struggle, you know, pass blocking. So, you know, there's just so many, like, interesting storylines to continue to watch as things go and where they go with their cuts and which draft picks from the last 2 years are still on the roster, you know, for game one.
Yeah. Coming up next on the Rise Up Seabird podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk. We'll have the Cardinals make their first cuts of the preseason. We'll react to those. That's coming up next on Rise Up Seabird. We're back on the Rise Up Seabird podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals had to trim 5 players from their offseason roster and get it down to 85 players, even though they get to keep it down to 86 players, as they have for the second year in a row. Their Austrian tight end, Bernhard Zeikowitz, he gives them a roster exemption, an extra player on the practice squad as well if he doesn't make the team. And so we do have our first 5 cuts. They include cornerback Breon Borders, defensive lineman Kingsley Kiki, running back Ronnie Rivers, offensive lineman Greg Long, and then their African, he wasn't through the International Pathway Program, but had been in that program, offensive tackle Haggai Ndubuisi. For you, of those first 5 cuts, were any a legitimate surprise?
Not after the first game. And the reason I say that was, like, Breon Borders might have been the worst player on the roster in that game. And I'm not trying to take shots at guys that just lost their job. Like, good luck to Breon. I really hope he can, you know.
He looked bad when he played for the Cardinals last year in that game.
Right. I hope he can go live out his dream, honestly, like I do. But, like, he legitimately, like, looked awful. And so you look at that, and it's like, Kiki, did he even get snaps?
No, he didn't. He didn't play at all that game. And then because he was coming back from COVID. And Cliff talked about it. He said, you know, it was, unfortunately, he got sick, he got COVID, he missed time, and then there are young guys who impress. So I think like the mix of his contract was identical to Michael Dogby's, and when he was signed in the offseason, it almost felt like, okay, King, we're going to have Kiki and Dogby battling. But when you've got guys like Jonathan Ledbetter, who's now been with the team, now it's his second year, or the undrafted kid Manny Jones making plays, this way, now he's not a vet. It's not like he's super established in the league, but he's played some football. And so they just made the decision between the lack of opportunities and the play of guys, younger guys behind him, they decided to cut him now, which gives him a better chance to latch on somewhere else, which is, honestly, I kind of like to see, because it's,
but like a couple of these guys were interesting. Like you said, Kiki, a veteran, get him out there, let him play. Rivers.
Yeah, he was the back of the running back roster. I was like,
right. He must have been a guy that just didn't show anything in camp at all.
Greg Long was a tryout player that signed. Well, interesting enough, so the two offensive linemen they cut, and DeBuisi and Long both got two snaps in the preseason game. And you have to cut positions, and you know, when you don't even get into action except for the two kneel down snaps, you know you're probably not going far. But the only one interesting to me was in DeBuisi, is the they have to eat over $200,000, because to sign him they guaranteed $207,000 of his salary. So I thought he might have made it longer, or a guy that they would try to keep on the practice squad, which obviously if they're cutting him now, practice squad is probably not the plan.
Correct. Yeah, Long was an interesting one, because I thought he was a guard. So
they had him working at center.
All but he got camp. But didn't he get snaps only at left tackle in the game? I mean, I know he only played two, but like it's just interesting sometimes how these poor guys' chances. But like you said, like when you combine it, they had seven snaps. So the offensive guys had seven snaps, and Breon Borders was literally, and again, I don't mean any offense to it, but like he was literally the worst player on the field, his 23 snaps. Like there wasn't a worse player. So it's not a surprise. It's unfortunate, but it's not a surprise.
And I was mildly surprised that Jared Garantano, their undrafted quarterback, didn't get cut. But now it makes it a little more sense. Kyler's not playing in the preseason, and it doesn't sound like Colt's going to play this week either, and so they need
to. I was going to say, is Colt going to play in the preseason?
So it sounds like, because Cliff said on Tuesday, is that Trace is going to be amped up to play his former team. Mm-hmm. Sounded like Trace McSorley is going to start again, and that'll give him the first half, and they'll give Garantano the second half, which, you know, then if Colt is ready to go in the final preseason game, you might give him a little bit of work and Trace the rest of the snaps
right.
In the preseason finale, unless they know that they're not going to keep Trace, in which you just keep Garantano, let him play the preseason finale, and then hope he can go on the practice squad, because, you know, he's probably not going to go anywhere else, because he was so, you know, he was so desired after the draft that he was not drafted at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Come to next on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the Star of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about a little bit. It doesn't sound like the starters are really going to play this preseason. Does it matter? That's coming to next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the Star of Cardinals talk on the web. And We know for sure one thing. Kyler Murray admitted himself on Tuesday. He's not playing in the preseason. And Cliff said that at least the game against this week against the Ravens, the second preseason game, which is the equivalent to the third preseason game in the four game preseasons that there were in years past, that was the one that traditionally the starters would get the most work at. Cliff said the starters will play probably what they played against the Bengals, which means no starters on offense except for Will Hernandez, and then the only real starters on defense are Zaven Collins and Marco Wilson, because they're young and they're trying to give them snaps. But even like you look at you look at some of the cases like Rondell Moore, who's a second-year player. They're not even playing Rondell. So the guys, with the exception of three players that they're expecting to make significant contributions to this team on offensive defense, the only three that are going to be Will Hernandez, Marco Wilson, and Zaven Collins. Which is, I will admit, this is a departure from kind of Cliff's. Cliff has been, at least early in his coaching career, has handled preseason work traditionally. Part of that in 2019 is because they wanted to give Kyler as many snaps as he could, but you would have the starters playing out there progressively in the preseason third game. You'd play about the first half. He was very kind of traditional in that sense. But what do you think about – do you think it matters that the starters are basically not playing at all in the preseason?
No. But to, like, make it more eloquent, if this was a new staff with a lot of new schemes and a lot of guys that needed reps, then it would be more important. But outside of Marquise Brown, who needs the reps on offense?
Exactly. That's kind of the thing you want. That's one of the great things about having coaching continuity is that now this is year four in the system. You now can, you don't need your starters to get reps. You can use those game reps on players that you truly need to evaluate. So guys competing for starting jobs, guys new to the system, young players you want to give experience and you want to evaluate, especially with how the preseason has sort of evolved in recent years. And with the pandemic years proving that a preseason isn't necessary, I like the way they're doing it, because then you can go and honestly, I feel the same thing about the offseason program. If there is continuity in the system, guys that have been there before, those reps are much more valuable for evaluation purposes for guys new and guys competing who need experience and or evaluation. And so that's kind of nice, because now the Cardinals are in a situation, if they can keep up with this continuity, where they know what they want and they know what they have. And so you don't need to give Zach Ertz, you know, reps in the preseason. You don't need to get Justin Pugh out there. You can let them get their practice reps. And the other thing that is, because they're practicing against Tennessee next week, a couple of joint practices, that's the starters' preseason game. That's really what it is. Their speed work that they're doing, their preseason work is their practices next week in Tennessee with the Titans, and then you'll have all the back of the roster guys play the preseason finale. I like it. I honestly value that more and more, because it allows the coaches to evaluate better the players on the back end of the roster to, you know, prove it or prove not that they belong. And it gives your rookies valuable reps that will make them more prepared to contribute in the regular season.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like the question marks that they have, those are the positions and players that they need to get reps at, because we already know what guys like Lucky Fotu and Rashad Lawrence and JJ Watt and Zach Allen are going to do. But like, who's going to take that next spot? Like, is it, like we talked about, is it Michael Dogby? Is it Jonathan Ledbetter? Is it Christian Ringo? Is it
Manny Jones, Antoine Woods?
Manny Jones. Yeah. Like who's the next guy? Who's the guy that comes in and plays alongside, who's the new linebacker? Goodness gracious. Nick Vigil. Right. Like if Zaven goes down, who comes in and plays next to Nick Vigil? If Nick Vigil goes down, who comes in and plays next to Zaven? So is it Ben Neiman, who we haven't even mentioned, but had a really good game and I think played the most snaps on defense, or was close to, you know, is James Wiggins,
I think played all but like a couple of snaps at safety.
And is James Wiggins going to make the roster?
Right, right. That's a big question.
So, like, these guys all need reps. You know, it makes sense that Byron Murphy is the only corner not getting reps, right? It makes sense that you want to see Cam Thomas and Myjai Sanders as much as possible. Like, all of these things make sense. The offense is a little different because there's some timing things and stuff, but at the same time, these guys have been together and know each other. Like, people are going to be like, well, Kyler needs to get reps. Well, are you going to put AJ Green out there? Like, really? Do you think AJ Green wants to play in a preseason game at 35 years old, 34 years old, whatever it is? Like, that's just – that. I mean, what was Larry playing? And people would be like, well, Larry had been with the team. Yeah, but he was on, like, his ninth head coach by that time. Like, like, you know, you can make the case for any of it, but at the end of the day, the reality is they're doing what they feel is best, and the reality is what they need to do in order to make sure that they have a chance to compete.
Absolutely. Coming up next on the Rise Ups here at Podcast Best Star Carlos Talk of the Web, we kind of previewed a little bit of that. But what are we looking for? What do we hope to see? Who are we watching in the game against the Ravens this weekend? That's coming next on Rise Ups Here Red. We're back on the Rise Up Seared Podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. Now let's look ahead to the preseason matchup they have against the Baltimore Ravens. We already know Kyler Murray's not playing. And pretty much it's a mix of basically backups and young players, and then guys competing for the rosters. First and foremost, does a preseason win matter? Because they're playing a team that takes the preseason seriously. The wins matter. Cliff said he respects it because the philosophy is, hey, you are preparing to win games in the preseason, and that mentality should carry over into the regular season. So in terms of what you want your players doing, you want your players trying to win and therefore executing appropriately and that carrying over. And then for the coaches, it's about evaluating players within that context. But how cool would it be if the Cardinals were the ones to end the Ravens' record preseason streak? It would. I don't care, but it would be cool.
It would be fun. I mean, there's no doubt it would be fun. But like, it's not something that you're gonna be like, hey, you know, Zaven, we're gonna play you deep into the fourth quarter for. Right. Like if it comes naturally that and you have a chance to do something, that's what you do. But if it's not something that is going to be naturally easy to make it work, then you just kind of let it go. And unfortunately, oh, they won another one. But I think the way that this team came out against the Bengals, honestly, I think it surprised a lot of people because a lot of people have been really down on the team. And again, the preseason doesn't mean anything, especially when we're talking about all these starters that haven't been around. But like the reality is this was an impressive first quarter and first half.
They had four scoring drives, three touchdown drives, were really, let's be honest, the only negative to those drives was, you know, Matt Prater missing an extra point and then missing another one later in the game.
Yeah, we're not bringing that stuff up, though. only positive vibes right now. But, like, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You look at it, this is a game where you want to continue to build and win. But at the same time, you look at the fact that this Ravens team has a little more game planning to it than we're used to. And they're probably going to be a little more prepared than like the Bengals were. So it's going to be a little more of a test.
Absolutely. I want to, the players who stood out, I want them to replicate that. They don't have to be the same dominance, but Victor Dimakaje doesn't need to get two more sacks, but he's just as disruptive.
Right. Yeah, and you can say the same for like MyJ Sanders, right?
Yes.
Sanders had no sacks, but he was very disruptive in the pass rush.
Cam Thomas didn't look bad either. He didn't flash as much, but he did look good shedding blockers and doing the role that he has. He just wasn't as flashy as Sanders.
Right. He's just a little stiff right now, but I'm not surprised by that. I mean, he was kind of a hand in the dirt type of guy more than anything else. When you look at a couple of like must watch guys, I think we're going to go to, you know, you talked about Marco right away, Zaven right away, but I'm going to really be paying attention to Christian Mathieu again. Like, he was by far their best corner on Friday. And now, like you said, on Sunday, they're going to get a little juice to try and have a chance to back that up. And so let's see if he can do that. The other thing is I'm going to be looking at is like, who's the other corner that steps up? You know, Antonio Hamilton was okay in the game. We talked about it, but like, does Cortez Davis continue to kind of turn heads? You know, does Marco come back and play better? Does Josh Jackson, is he a guy that we're underselling his chance to be there? So you have that. And then offensively, you know, I think you've nailed it, but obviously we want Will to dominate again. Like, if Will's dominant for these two games, I would like bubble wrap him and just kind of put him to the side after that. Continue to see good things from Josh Jones and Josh Miles. Obviously the rookies, Hayes and Smith, it's always important, but more than anything, you just want them to seem comfortable. But, you know, you look at a couple of things that you want to see. You want to see Andy making clutch plays. You want to continue to see Greg Dortch be like the obvious best offensive weapon on the field. You know, if he's going to be your fifth or sixth guy, you want it to be obvious, right? And then the one key battle I'm kind of interested in continuing to watch and follow along with is Jonathan Ward and Keyonte Ingram. I'm not sure if they're fighting each other, but it does seem like that's where it may come down to.
Right, because the Cardinals really have only kept four running backs and sometimes only three. And, you know, James Conner, Darrell Williams is being given that veteran treatment. You know, Benjamin seems to be a lock. And so what you're looking at is it Ward or Ingram? And both, that they like Ward, and plus he has great value. They love what he does on special teams, and he's done nothing but be productive when he's had the opportunities in offense. And then Ingram just offers a lot. He looked good,
and he's
got a little more upside. He's got more upside offensively, honestly.
That's part of it, and he's the most similar guy that they have to James Conner in terms of size, skill set. You know, we've even said he's got a little more juice, like, not taking anything away from Connor, but he's just a little more athletic than you expect when he gets out there.
He, you know, we talked about a while ago, he's kind of David Johnson, like, honestly, isn't he?
He's not quite that freak athletic, he's definitely got, like, he's a big athletic guy that
similar running style too.
You. Yeah. And he's just, like I said, he's just a guy that's able to make plays and show off a little more wiggle than you expect it. And that's similar to Connor, you know, when you watch Connor run.
And other than that, yeah, I want to see Sean Harlow, because Sean Harlow is a lock for the roster. He is the Rodney Hudson backup. You want to see him not be bad. You want to see the Smith not mess things up. Have him not be an issue at center. You want to see Josh Miles, Josh Jones continue to be solid at tackles. And then, you know, you want to see players standing out. You want some players to stand out. You don't want it to just be – so you want the guys who stood out last week to repeat that. but you also want other guys who didn't do much. You want them to make plays. You need the, like, so fans know who they are and, you know, give them a chance to not only make the roster here or make it onto a roster somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, we've talked about, and you'd like to see some of these guys get that opportunity to make it on another roster. Like we said, like a Cota Martin, like, is he just spinning his wheels, or is he a guy that's going to play over, take a spot over Marquise Hayes and Lasita Smith, Victor Bolden and Andre Baselia and these guys that have been, Bolden hasn't so much, but Baselia have been like up and down with the Cardinals over the last couple of seasons. Like, where's their place on the roster? And if not, how, are they going to get out and get a chance to show their stuff? The other thing, and we haven't even really touched on it, is like the tight ends didn't really play well in this last game. But also none of them are guys that you're going to expect anything from.
It would be a shock if any of them are on the roster this coming season, because Zach Ertz, Max Williams, and Trey McBride are going to be the guys. And even if Max Williams isn't quite ready to play week one, which it sounds like he might be, they're not going to have a fourth tight end on the roster. My guess is they will have a tight end on the practice squad that they elevate. That's kind of the game they played a couple of years ago. Is they just burn through their elevations and just bring in another tight end. They were nothing much to write about. Steven Anderson, then he got hurt. Deion Yelder was on the field a lot. Bernhard Sijkovic had his first catch. And then there's the undrafted kid, Chris Pierce, who you don't really know much about. Let's be honest. Deep on the roster. And if he is on the roster after this week, and they brought in a couple of tight ends. They brought in a couple tight ends on Monday because of the injury situation, because Ertz is not practicing. Max Williams is on light duty. Trey McBride is just coming back. And then now Steven Anderson's going to miss a week or two.
Right. That's how it all works. So, but yeah, so you just, I mean, this is a game.
It's got the black helmets. It's going to look so cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. It's Sunday. It's semi like the primetime game, and you get all the oohs and ahs of that. It should be fun, man. Like, yeah, there's no big names in it, but like I think it'll be good football for about two quarters, and then we'll see what guys that could be selling insurance soon are gonna do.
Yeah. And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We will be back again this following week after the Cardinals play the Baltimore Ravens Sunday night. And we will, be looking ahead to that preseason finale as we look ahead to final cuts and the beginning of the regular season. So, this is Jess Root. I'm Jess Root. That's Seth Cox. We'll be back again next week. As always, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, Be Red C-Red, and of course, Rise Up C-Red. Whoa!